Let us pray. Come, O come, O come, O Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated.
I was really tempted to preach the sermon that I am going away, but one who is coming to you will comfort you. But as my staff likes to remind me, I'm not Jesus, so it's a jarring realization. Fire has a way of eliciting words from us. Each year as we kindle the new fire in the back of the church at the Easter Vigil, there is a murmur that rustles through the congregation. Now, it could be the suppressed groans and shrieks of fear that once again the rector is in danger of burning the building to the ground, but I like to believe that it is, in fact, a murmur of acknowledgement. The vocalized awe at something beautiful and powerful and fierce erupting in our presence. You see, fire catalyzes and creates as much as it destroys and disintegrates. I remember driving for the first time as a child through the mountains of Montana with my family, and my father, a seasonal forest firefighter, pointed out a ridge just off the road where he had worked one summer to fight a particularly destructive fire with hundreds of other forest firefighters. The ridge was now lush and green and laden with new growth where once a blackened waste and a scar had been. Fires can bring new growth. Fires can bring out the hidden, the potential. Fire coaxes words out of us, words we sometimes didn't know were well within us. On this, the Feast of Pentecost, the church's proverbial birthday, we celebrate a moment when the fire of God's Spirit alighted on the heads of the disciples gathered in a house, and they began to speak in diverse languages, much as we have heard here this morning with the Acts of the Apostles reading, languages such diverse that those who had gathered from countries far and near in Jerusalem could understand them in the native language of their own land. I wonder what it is that the disciples said that morning. What word within them was needing expression in the tongues of other people? What did the fire of God alight within them? So often the world tells us that it is our diversity that is our greatest hurdle to be overcome, that our differences separate and constrain us. We live in an age when we are told that different languages and different colors and different religions are part of what is wrong with our country, not what is right with our culture and our community. I like to think that the medium that God chose, God used in this Pentecost moment contradicts that message that our diversity is our problem. Instead of sending the Spirit to alight on those that would hear, giving them ears to understand, as one theologian writes, one universal heavenly language, God chose instead to alight on his disciples, releasing words from within them in languages that were not their own, so that others could hear and understand. In that moment, God did not obliterate their difference, but embraced it, used it for the purposes of God. Perhaps the message that day fit the medium. I'd like to believe the words that were spoken had something to do with God's love coming to us in the midst of our differences and our diversity. Blessed are you, God might have said through his disciples. Beloved, you are blessed, uniquely gifted, diverse and different, arrayed as the colors of the rainbow, speaking languages like many instruments, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Blessed are you, all my people, made in the image of God, made by God. I love you for who you are. Such was the message yesterday when a man, a descendant of African American slaves, stood in front of a congregation of well over a billion people, speaking fiery words about God's love. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry preached at the royal wedding yesterday, and if you're one of the two or three Episcopalians who didn't see it, go forth to the internet and watch it. And his message was a message of love. Some pundits said that he stole the show. Yes, there are pundits for royal weddings. I don't know whether he stole the show, but I can say that he had a word to bring, and he brought it, and he brought it well. And I can also say, after a cursory examination of my Facebook feed yesterday, that Episcopalians get hyped for royal weddings like most Americans get hyped for the Super Bowl. There were all kinds of post-sermon analysis by the professionals and the novices as well. My favorite came from a friend of mine, Mike Kinman, who is rector at All Saints Church in Pasadena. Mike decided to analyze the sermon as grounds for understanding the act of preaching, the act of bringing God's word. He described sermons as events to be experienced and participated in, not artifacts, he said, to be admired. Sermons illuminate something of the authentic self of the speaker. They also illuminate something of the gift that God is giving to the community, and they illuminate the possibility of the people to whom they're preached. He wrote, "Sermons are not 15-foot birdie putts to be watched in silence and then celebrated with polite applause. Sermons are not works of art to be viewed and then critiqued over drinks after leaving the gallery. Sermons are the living word of God drawn out of the community and brought to life by the whole community, each and every one of us. Sermons are," he said, "the love of God, the word of God, and as our presiding bishop reminded us in Pentecost, reminds us, love is fire." You see, Michael Curry yesterday had a word from God, and it was put there by the fire of God's Holy Spirit, a gift for the listening ears of many, a gift for the couple about to be married, a word about God's life-changing and transforming fire, about God's love for the world. It is just such a gift that we are praying be given today to Austin and to Olivia. A word and a love and a fire implanted in them as we baptize them into the body of Christ. We wash them in the holy waters of baptism. We anoint them with the oil of blessing. And then from the Paschal candle, the light of Christ, a candle will be lit and given to each as we pass them the fire and the light of Christ, that it might, with the whole community's love and support, not just with their parents' and godparents' support, but each and every one of us here today, our nurturing, caring, loving support would kindle and grow within them a blaze and a brightness, so that what is within might also be shared with the world. One of my favorite poets and pastors, whom we'll hear actually some text from later today in a song, the Reverend Steve Garness Holmes, who posts a daily meditation to his blog called Unfolding Light, if you want to go out and read it, described this past week how his daily meditation, his regular and routine email to thousands of readers, caused him to hit his maximum number of emails allowed through his current internet service this past week. Modern day problems, right? Once he hits that limit, he says, the daily meditation, the word that he has been given to share, just can't get out. And so he wrote this week, "I wonder if God ever feels like I did. What if God wants to express love, but we're not transmitting it? What if God is still doing Pentecost? What if God wants to say something through you, Is it getting spoken? Is it getting sent? What if you are the word that God is trying to get out? What if you are the language in which God expresses love? What if there are ways, even beyond our own knowing, that others hear God's good news through your life? Listen deeply, he says. Speak boldly. Describing the work of the great 20th century theologian Jesuit Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, which I have probably butchered in pronouncing, describing his work in his sermon yesterday, Michael Curry waxed eloquent about the transforming power of fire. Curry reminded the gathered assembly in the castle and the millions watching beyond its walls, quote, "Chardin said fire was one of the greatest discoveries in all of human history." And he then went on to say that if humanity ever captures the energy of love, it will be the second time in history that we have discovered fire. You see, like our presiding bishop, like preachers far and wide this Pentecost morning, you have a word too. The word is not just given to the ordained, to the trained, to the licensed and the authorized. The word of proclamation of God's love and its reconciling power is given to all of us. If you hear otherwise, don't believe it. As Peter preached from the prophet Joel that first Pentecost, God declares, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." The Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, not just white flesh or brown flesh, not just American flesh or Mexican flesh, not just Christian flesh or Islamic flesh. The Spirit is poured out on each and every one of us. All of God's created people have received that gift. And your young men and women shall see visions. And your old men and women shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves and the children and grandchildren and the great-grandchildren of slaves, both men and women. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You shall prophesy. Today, we celebrate the gift of God's Spirit, a Spirit that is love and a fire that can burn down the walls that separate us, that can melt the indifference that would harm our souls and warm the hearts of those for whom love seems impossible. The fire of God's Spirit has given us a word of love to speak. Do not rest easy until it has been spoken. Amen.